We are so glad that you're here with us at St. Philip's United Methodist Church, and it's going to be a glorious day. It's going to be a little different today. I'm going to start right in with announcements. Planning ahead long term, the church is going to be having a church-wide garage sale Friday, May 3rd, and Saturday, May 4th. So if you want to come up and do your own booth, then you can do your own booth. Donation is requested. The church will also be doing a booth. So it's going to be a fundraiser for the church, also a fundraiser, or if you just need to clear out your house a little bit. Ron's kind of the point of contact on that, but go ahead and know that the first weekend in May, it's going to be a garage sale. We'll get that in the calendar and on the website and everything. Thank you. We're getting close to the church directory. This week, people have appointments, so they're going to start taking pictures this week. I think it's Wednesday and Thursday, so announcements should taper off quite a bit on the church directory, and we should be getting that. I think we have to turn in all our materials within a week after the last photo shoot, which is on the Tuesday the 28th. So birthdays, like April maybe, that we'll get our directories for sure, probably by early May. Okay, so it's coming up soon, before the summer. You probably noticed we're collecting Easter eggs out in the baskets out around. Go ahead and work with that. There's some other announcements in here for some youth events coming up. Take a look at that. Take this home. I know a lot of people leave these up here, but take it home until you can get the stuff on your calendars. And then we have a new prayer request for Frank Johnson, who's Brenda Alexander's uncle. So please be aware of that. I know Renee will probably mention it too. Let's see. And you know what? That's all I've got. Do you have anything?
They're just making fun of you or me.
You know, it doesn't bother me. I'm good natured.
Bertha wanted me to say about the, thank you, Mark. Appreciate your leadership and from the pulpit area. But Bertha wanted me to announce, if you don't remember your time to take your photograph, so you can check with her right after church. She'll be sitting in her usual spot over there. You know, we're going to have to do something for Bertha when this is all done. So I'm sure she'll accept checks. Thank you, Bertha, for everything, for your leadership and your team. And at the appropriate time, we'll certainly give you some recognition. Also, take notice of the Lent study. I'm going to be offering a day study group for those who are interested. Maybe you could get out. So as you can see, the information's in your bulletin. We'll be meeting for four Wednesdays prior to Easter. And if you're interested in doing that, I'll give you an opportunity to sign up as we get closer in here next week or so. And then just want to bring that to your attention. All right, I think we're a little light today because it's spring break. And not only is it spring break, so a lot of our kids are gone. We still have some kids with us. Joseph is running some sort of marathon, triathlon, he's doing something, Ironman something, whatever. So he's not with us today. We appreciate the leadership of some of the other folks that are taking his spot this morning. So, everybody rested? Just thought I'd check. I'm just checking. I don't know. Oh, I wanted to mention that Earl's with us today. Earl and Diana. Earl and Diana. Earl said, don't touch him. Don't touch him, but he will take kisses. I had to embarrass him. I couldn't let it go. Don't take me literally on that. Thank you. Okay.
Please stand. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for bringing us all together this morning. And I just ask and pray, dear Heavenly Father, that help us to open our eyes and to see you this morning, to catch a new glimpse of who you are. Thank you so much for all all that you do. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for singing that. But this is the time we have our affirmation of faith, and since Joseph's not here, I'm gonna be leading us in that. But I'm gonna ask the kids to come up if they're not scared of me. Come on, kids. Oh, look at this little angel girl right here. Come on. Do we have any more kids? Megan, bring them on here. Get them. Round them up. Round them up. We have two boys today. Oh, here comes another little angel. Look at this. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, girl. Look at these angels, will you? Look at them. I mean, they're just precious children. I love them. Okay, Let us join together in our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, our only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then she shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you, children. What a blessing they are to our congregation. Look at those precious babies going off to Children's Church as they make their way outside this into outside the sanctuary. This is the time where we prepare to greet each other. If you see a stranger in your midst, be very assertive. Stick your hand out there, give them a hug. Except don't hug Earl.
Your presence. we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. Lord, the reason we're
Christ. We move to that time of our service where we have our prayer moments, and I think, as far as I'm aware, no one's in the hospital. Megan's husband had surgery this past week. We mentioned him a couple of weeks ago, shoulder surgery. I see that John is here, John O'Hare, so he was a little bit sickly here. In fact, he's highly contagious, so don't shake his hand. No. He's fine now, so great to have you guys here with us as well. We're in the season of Lent now, for those of you who follow the liturgical calendar, and we started last Wednesday with the Ash Wednesday, the administration of the ashes last Wednesday. Had a steady stream of people come in all during the day. It was delightful to sit and visit with many of you. So we are in the season of preparation. Can you believe that Easter will be the next season before us? So it's coming right on us. All right, let us go to the Lord at this time for a word of prayer. So dear Father in heaven, this week challenged us to examine our relationship with you. Ash Wednesday reminded us that we are dependent on you for life. So help us during this season of Lent to search for ways in which we can deepen our connection to you. And forgive us when we fall short of your expectations. Lead us to acknowledge and repent that we are lost without your guidance and grace. And indeed, we look to you as a source of encouragement and hope. When life becomes difficult, we rely on you to hear our prayers. We rely on you to send family and friends to help us in times of need, for we know that you work through your children to reach us. You work through all of your children. Give us the strength, the wisdom, and the fortitude to reach out to those around us who may need an encouraging word. Particularly pray for those whom we hold close to our hearts, but yet we also pray for those whom we do not know. Hear our thoughts and prayers as we seek to minister to our brothers and sisters. Make us worthy to be ambassadors of your grace. We offer these words in the name of Jesus, who taught us the prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
When I take a road trip, I'm just thinking about getting there. I don't want to stop. I don't want to slow down. Anybody ever ride with people like me? You hate it. I've been thinking this week a lot about heaven, what it's going to be like. I don't want to stop. I don't want to slow down. I don't want distractions along the way. I just want to get there. But we're called to be here every day. We're called to be the church. It's not about what we do. It's not about work, because the work has already been done on the cross. We're called to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the beautiful weather that you've sent our way. And as the sun shines down on us and warms this earth, we feel the light of your Son warming our hearts, making us more like him. And Father, as we spend this time with this offering, I pray that you'll help each one of us to reflect that we are called to be like Christ. We're called to give like Christ. We're called to speak like Christ. And Father, for the times that we fall short, we ask your forgiveness. Help us to move forward, proclaiming your name throughout this universe. And we pray it all in Jesus' sweet name. Amen.
Find it hard to understand, and you're just not sure you have the strength to do all God commands. When the task seems overwhelming, you can rest within His hands. For the one who calls you is faithful.
Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 26. In Deuteronomy 26, there's some instructions given there. It says, when you have come into the land that the Lord your God has given you and as an inheritance to possess, you will possess it and settle in it. You shall take some of the first of all of the fruits of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time, and say to him, today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give to us. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and he lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord. The Lord God of our ancestors, the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, to our toil and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruits of the ground to you, O Lord, you have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with all the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given you and to your house. These are the words of the Lord.
Thank you, Ben, for reading our scripture passage today. Another complicated passage, a little bit complicated, but I think hopefully we'll be able to glean a message from today's message, a word from today's message. So let me ask you something. Have you ever walked into a room and forgotten what you went in that room to begin with? I guess it happens a lot. I don't know. Have you ever had, those of you who wear glasses, have you ever had your glasses on and you're asking your significant other, hey, where are my glasses? You have them on, or they're on your head. Has that ever happened to you, something like that? This past week, Abby, our church secretary, was in my office, and we were visiting, and so I was going to look up something on the computer based off our discussion, and so I sit in front of a computer, and my mouse is right here. You know what a mouse is, right? Not a real mouse, right? Computer mouse. So my mouse is right here. So I sit down and I reach and I go, where's my mouse? Where's my mouse? I can't function today without my mouse. I have to have it. I don't want to put my finger like this. You know, I need a mouse. So I was frustrated and she could tell I was getting very anxious. She goes, it's right there in front of you. And I looked at it and I had moved it 12 inches, I think. It was right there in front of me. I was so embarrassed. And it's like, I know I'm losing my mind. I just had to be losing my mind. Well, these are humorous, frustrating moments for us, I guess you could say. Because we may think that we are losing our mind. And when we have such forgetful moments, certainly that we're getting older, we worry that we may be, you know, going into the state of dementia or something of that nature. It certainly seems as though our minds can go into a fog. And perhaps it's because we're overwhelmed by all the activities that's expected of us. That could be a reason. Or it could be just because we're just getting older. Right? What I do know is that this wandering in the wilderness mindset happens to most everyone or at any time in life, at any age. It's not just for those of us who are a little bit older. It's for anyone. Many people go through life as if in a state of a fog, trying to figure out where they're going and where they are heading. Many people struggle to find meaning and purpose. Happiness seems to be elusive. There has to be more to life than just sleeping, getting up, starting the day, going to work, coming home, watching TV, and then going back to sleep. But some people are in that rhythm of things and get lost into the true meaning of life. Day in and day out, this is the wilderness experience for many people. And it can lead to depression. We can surely relate to this way of thinking as we grow older and life changes around us. We may find ourselves fighting off being depressed, right? Maybe talking to our doctor and getting antidepressant medications will help us, maybe. As we grow older, we become acutely aware that life does not last forever, at least not on this good earth as we know it. Did you see surely you saw where the longtime popular host of Jeopardy, Alex Trebek, announced that he had stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Tough cancer, right? I've known some people who have been able to defeat that, but you got to catch it early. So he sent out this heartwarming message indicating that he was going to fight his diagnosis and not let it get the best of him. And so in a recorded video, which you can pick up on your computer, he humorously kind of announced that he has a contract to 2022 and he has to fulfill that contract. Now, mind you, he is 78 years old. So let's see, let's do the math. 2000. So he's going to be much older. And that's his expectation. So I admire his enthusiasm for life. He's going to continue to work, or at least that's the plan. And the doctor informed him that a positive outlook is far better than a negative outlook. And we know that to be true. It strengthens our immune system to help fight off illnesses, or at least sustain them. Right? But the reality, of course, is that the odds are against him. He, like all of us, will face a time when it will seem as though the future is uncertain. And that's scary. It's kind of scary. We come to church and we hear messages about afterlife and heaven and God's kingdom and all that. But we actually hadn't been there ourselves. So there's that little question mark that's always in the back of our head. Well, this is an opportune time where we can point the way. As with anyone facing mortality issues or with depressive issues in general, if someone can point to a better way for us, then that's great. If someone can encourage us with positive news, then that's great. If someone can inspire us that there is a better life ahead, it's not going to be death and doom and so forth, that's great. It's great that we have people like that that can help us get to these ways and point the way. And this is a message that's important for us to receive in today's message, in today's lesson. The Israelites wandered aimlessly, as the scriptures say, for 40 years. 40 years, of course, meaning a long time. They wandered aimlessly in the wilderness, living in the fog, uncertain of their destination. Yet along the way, the people had folks like Moses and Aaron pointing the way to the promised land. Even though the people, the bulk of the people in the wilderness, they didn't know exactly where they were heading. So Aaron and Moses would continually try to encourage people, don't give up. God is leading us to a better place. God has a direction for our lives. And we may wander about at times, and we may seem lost, but take heart, all will be well. All will be well in the end. So let's look at our lesson a little bit closer today. The focus seems to be on the tithing of first fruits, so it's believed that this lesson is based on an actual harvest festival. You would gather that from reading our scripture. The occasion of the festival was to first give thanks to God for God's goodness. The offering of the first fruits of the harvest season was a token of appreciation by the people to God for having a blessed harvest. So the people would set out their fruits And, of course, the priest would eat those afterwards, after the service. But the intent was pure. And the second occasion for this lesson was to recognize and celebrate that it was God that let the people out of Egypt into the promised land. This, too, became an occasion for thanksgiving, thanking God for keeping his promise. The scripture makes reference to a wandering Jacob, the Armenian, wandering Jacob as entering Egypt and building up a nation within that country. And then there's reference to the Israelites who sought to move out of control of the Egyptians because they were being mistreated. Hence, the people wandered out in the wilderness trying to find their way. Comparable to, like, if you want to use a modern-day illustration, be comparable to the feeling that one would have after going through a divorce. Where do I go from here? What direction do I go from here? Or after losing a loved one, for example, what now? What can I do now? And indeed, as noted earlier, God delivered his promise by pointing the way. So again, in our lesson, we have a twofold purpose for the celebration of the Hebrew people, the Israelites, a time to offer thanksgiving for God's harvest blessing and a time to offer thanksgiving for the gift of the promised land. So, how does this lesson speak to us today? Well, the answer should be pretty simple. It should be pretty clear. God points the way to his people by his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, as the scriptures read to us. We, in turn, are expected to point the way for those who seem to be just wandering about in life. If God points the direction for us, we are to point the direction for others. That's just responsible and good leadership, responsible behavior. We point the way for our kids. We point the way for our family. We point the way for those generations that are following us. Now, whether they listen to us is another story, but we'll point the way. This is the way you should go. Trust me, I've been down this road, right? We do that all the time. In our lesson in the book of Deuteronomy, we find God leading the way not only for the Israelites specifically, but specifically rather for the immigrants, the widows, and the orphans. A sample, if you will. This is the author's way of giving us a sample of people who often live in a fog and don't know where they're going to end up. That makes sense. If you're an orphan, you don't know where you're going to land. Right? You could land at Ben's house over here. I don't know if that's good, but that's what he does. He's got a great ministry going at his home. So if God does that for us, even to the point of sending his son Jesus to point the way for us, are we not also expected to point the way since we represent Christ in today's church? Are we not also expected to point the way since we are the body of Christ in today's world? You ever think about that? Nobody likes to think that they're Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that. There are some people out there that think that, but what I'm saying is that as a church, we are, and you heard this, we are the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ in today's time. So God is counting on us to be the body of Christ. Adam Hamilton, as you know, is one of our prominent clergy persons in the United Methodist Church, noted to having perhaps one of the largest Methodist churches in the world, up in Kansas. He addresses the subject in his book, Why, which, by the way, that's the book that I'll be using for our Lent study, Why. He makes the following observation. He says, we surely know people who are walking through the difficult chapters of life. Perhaps someone we know must persevere through the passing of a loved one. Perhaps we know someone who has been out of work for weeks or months or years. Maybe we know someone whose marriage just ended in divorce and someone who has just suffered a broken relationship. Maybe we know someone who is facing a frightening illness, as with Alistair Beck that I noted earlier. Maybe we know someone who is fearing growing older, seeing no bright side to life. And so the examples can go on and on, but what we need to hear is that our faith reminds us of the difficult chapters in life are never the final chapters of our story. They're just chapters within our life story, but not the final chapter. So, and how can I say this? How can I make this claim? Well, think with me of the many Bible studies that include adversity and pain, but end up in triumph. Think of perhaps the greatest story in the Bible, where Jesus was crucified, and then 3 days later, he was resurrected. That crucifixion represented one chapter of his life, but the resurrection pointed to his final chapter in life, which was victorious, right, over death. Think about these things. And so no matter how bad things could get or become for some of us, there's always a way out. Our faith gives us hope for a better chapter a better day, a better tomorrow, as Pastor Adams tells us. Now, we should know this. Our Lord has led us out of our own wilderness experiences, right? And our wilderness experiences can be anything from hard lessons that we've discovered in life, that we have made in life, to something as simple as just forgetting where we are. It's our job to help others out of their own wilderness experience. So like when I share that I forget things, it's really nice when somebody talks to me and says, you know, I forget things too, but it's okay. They're kind of pointing the way for me to not go down the pathway of darkness and doubt, but a pathway of just acceptance and hope for a better day. We should know that God uses people to do his good work. God uses people to do his good work. This is why we can thank policemen for protecting us, or doctors from that can save us, or teachers that can teach us, farmers that can feed us, parents that can guide us, every occupation that you can think of, everything that you've done, or have helped somebody in their lifetime. And we need to recognize that God uses people with all their various talents to help those who may seemingly be lost and wandering in their wilderness. This is why we are the ones appointed to show the way. So the questions I would leave you with are these. Who can we help by pointing the way to the Lord? Who can we help find a better pathway? Who can we help today? There's someone, I'm certain you're thinking about this, there's someone in your family or in your circle of friends that needs to be shown the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. All right. Just want to offer the invitation, as I do every Sunday, that if you desire to know more about the church, about the Christian walk and the faith, I would always invite you to come forward either here at the service time if you'd like, or if you'd like to have a time of prayer. If anyone would like to have a time of prayer, I'd be glad to pray with that person. Or make arrangements to meet with me a little bit later so we can have more time to talk and then go forth from there. All right, so our next song is...
Please stand for Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Changes not thy compassions, they fail not.
So our benediction today is from Isaiah chapter 5. It's appropriate for the season of Lent, so receive these words. I said there is no hope for me. I am doomed because every word that passes my lips is sinful. And yet I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Now your guilt is gone and your sins are forgiven. And then I heard the Lord say, "Whom shall I send? Who will be my messenger?" And I answered, "I will go, send me." Go forth with your mission at hand, and go and point the way. Amen. All right, let's join hands with our neighbors, and we will sing our sending song together. Thank you for coming for church.